Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
I tell you what, reality shows, they're taking over once again. We heard recently Australian Idol is making a comeback, but a brand new show that Channel 10, I guess they're like, well, we're getting left behind. We've got to have something new and exciting that people want to get involved in. It's a brand new show called Hunted. And what it is, it's a bunch of ex-military, ex-police, and also, you know, tech intelligence people, private investigators getting together. They've got their own little command centre somewhere in Melbourne, and they dump 21 people, so nine groups of two, in the middle of Melbourne. They've got to try and go undetected for 21 days to win a share of $100,000.
It's basically a very elaborate game of hide-and-go-seek for grown-ups. That's what it is. Yeah, I saw this on Sunday night, come on, and I'm like, all right, I've got a choice of Hunted, Beauty and the Geek, or the best of the best of worst of Red Faces.
Oh, my God.
I chose Red Faces. I have no regrets.
Yeah, exactly right. This show, it's a little bit out there, but it does open your eyes up just to how much we're getting tracked with technology and how easily people can be found. I suppose it almost feels like most of the show is just an ad for Australian tech experts to just prove and investigate how easily and how well-armed we are in our country to find someone. That's what it sort of feels like for half the show.
Maybe they are sending a message out to criminals, just go, don't even think about it. Look how fast we can track your butt down.
Yeah, maybe so. Each pair are given $500. And they're just sent out into the wherever they want in the middle of the city, 21 days to go undetected. Some people thought they really outsmarted the system and well prepared rather than others. But obviously, a few things just went over their heads. There was one particular group, two people by the name of Jake and Rob. Now, Jake is a cop with Western Australian Police, so he thinks he's a
bit
savvy.
Oh, he's got an advantage.
Yeah. Then you've got Rob, who's a hairdresser. His plan of attack was to bring a whole bunch of wigs and
and
put on the head.
Yeah.
But I found it quite hilarious. Their first port of call after they got dropped off, he was like, all right, I've got bleach blonde hair. I have to sort of, you know, maybe shave a little bit, put a wig on. Puts a wig on, and all of a sudden they both put on high-vis tradie outfits.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, okay, if you want to go undetected, maybe putting high-vis clothing is not the best thing to do. And another couple done something just as silly. We've got Erina and Jess. Now, these two, they all got dropped off in the middle of town, basically. They're going, all right, we need to get transport cards so we can get to wherever we've got to go in Melbourne on the network. Now, I've only been to Melbourne once, right? Just before Christmas, use public transport. And you can pick up these MyKey cards from service stations, 7-Elevens, anywhere, convenience stores. They decide to go to pick up their MyKey transport card to Flinders Street Station.
Which is probably covered in cameras.
Which is covered in a lot of cameras.
A lot of security
Very
there.
Very bad move. I was surprised they didn't get caught the first episode of the show. And it's also hilarious how much these investigators are hamming up the show. Like one particular guy who's Dr. David Craig, he's the chief overseeing the whole thing. And when the police officer, Jake, took a photo and put it on the Instagram just to sort of like, you know, to say, ha ha, here we are sort of thing.
Yeah. He he's like, mocking the authorities,
mocking,
was he?
Yeah.
He's like a Batman villain, this guy.
He took it personally.
I don't give up. I'll chase down everything, identify her and work on her. We find her, we find them. You know, bring it on. You think you can outsmart us. We'll make a mistake, everyone does, and we'll be there to pounce. Sorry. Personal now.
Wow, okay.
I sort of felt like I was watching CSI Miami or something, you know? It's personal now. He's referring to the cop at the end there because they were baiting them with the photo saying, nah, 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 here we are.
Wow.
Taking it personally.
He sounded like there was a bit of history there as well. He's like, oh, we've all made mistakes. He goes, like my first wife.
Yeah.
That was a mistake, that relationship. Like, because I'm on a tangent.
Just a tangent. You can see these guys just hamming it up, you know, high-fiving, just playing it, you know, like a bit over the top and stuff. But the particular couple I found quite to be hilarious. Well, they call themselves the Nifty 50s. Angie and Michelle, both in their mid-50s. One's Australian, one's English background. And they decide to go on the run and then go to a friend's house called Jackie.
Oh, okay. So you can use your friends and family.
You can use your
this.
Friends and family, oh, okay. But they've actually got access to their phone because you surrender your phones and everything. And what they actually done was they just called Jackie directly and they've got Angie's phone there in the headquarters. Like, oh, well, they're trying to call Jackie, so I wonder if we just work out where Jackie lives.
And that's how they busted him.
Wasn't too long before eventually Michelle was actually caught and she wasn't happy when she was captured.
Fugitive Michelle, your time on the run is definitely over.
Wipe that smile off your face.
And it won't be long before we have your friend in custody as well.
Not happy Jan.
They even rub it in when they're finally caught. But
ouch.
Whole thing is sort of over the top as well. But it sort of opens your eyes just to how much technology can be against you when someone needs to find you. Something I didn't know. They were using all these techniques. Obviously, they could crack codes and things, access CCTV. But they actually use this thing called telematics, where if you've got a sort of a modern age car, they can hack in and find you that way.
Predominantly, a telematic system is for a safety measure. If someone's in trouble, a driver's in trouble, they can click a button and that vehicle can be co-located and emergency services sent to that vehicle.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so the photo was taken of Erina and Jess at a service station. They tracked that car. It was a modern-day car, modern model. They hacked into it and they were just tracking it like it was on the GPS going, oh, here they are. They're just going this way.
So if you need to evade authorities, get yourself like an old Hyundai XL or something like, you know, an older model car.
Something completely old. How do you reckon you'd go on this show if they dumped you in there and you had to find your way, you know? Like,
I'd probably just head out into the bush and then quickly realize I have no skills to help with my survival in the bush and I turn myself in a day later.
I just imagine, I'm just flashing back to the 90s version of me. Maybe I'm a little bit younger. I'm just thinking, how would I go at this show? If someone gave me $500 and they said, oh, you know, 21 days on the run, I think I could just about double that. I'd be at a free play at Time Zone. They'd never find me.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
I've always been a little bit jealous of people who are models because I feel like they just won the lotto. Like it's just, you know, their numbers came up when it came to genetics and they were just blessed with attractive features. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as Veronica said, my face is my credit card.
All right.
That's it.
Okay. Well, my face couldn't even be an Opal card. Like this. There's a reason why you and I are on radio.
Mine hands out fines. That's what mine does.
I think the only modelling I could get away with is maybe glasses modelling. Like you walk past like an optometrist, like Specsavers or something, and they always have those photos. And it's usually an older guy with salt and pepper hair wearing like the spectacles.
Yeah.
Like, I could do that because most of the focus is going to the spectacles, not the rest of my face. And you don't have to do a lot, you know. You don't have to do the blue steel Zoolander look or anything like that. You just got to wear the glasses.
What about like a hand model, like George Costanza?
I do have very supple hands, so I might be able to pull that off.
My fingers are a little bit bent.
No, hand model, glasses model, contacts model. No, it's just regular modeling, really. But I've just discovered that in Bega at the Funhouse, every Wednesday night they do life drawing classes, which is another word for drawing a nudie person.
Oh, so drawing the fruit, but the fruit that's attached to a bare-bodied person.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep, you're drawing someone's fruit basket, so to speak. They do these on Wednesday nights. And we were discussing this yesterday because I'm like, it takes a lot of guts to be a nude model. You have to possess a level of confidence that is way above your regular models.
Yeah.
Like just to strip, you have to be so confident in your own body to strip off in front of people. And I think, and such a small group of people, like I can understand why people streak at sporting events because you've got such a large crowd. It's hard to comprehend that they're made up of individuals.
Mm.
But if I'm standing in front of a room of say like, you know, 10 to 20 people, that's quite confronting, especially if they're right there. I can look them in the eye and they can look me in one of my eyes.
Yeah, usually the two types of people you see are like really attractive people or people that are a bit older because they just don't care. Like, oh, well, my body's beautiful. I don't care anymore. But if I was to do one of these things as like a nude model, if I'd have to get rid of the HB pencil and put out like the 12B pencil to just draw all the hair on me.
On the arms. There's a lot of colouring in.
Yeah, it's like we need charcoal. We need something thicker to express the amount of hair.
I mean, and the other thing is like not just a confidence in yourself and being naked in front of people, but you have to sort of consider yourself art worthy.
That's right.
Because normally when you model something, you're modeling clothes or glasses or whatever.
Yeah.
But in this instance, you're doing nothing, but you're basically saying to yourself, I am worthy of art. I you know, draw me and put me in a gallery.
Yeah.
That's how good I am. You know what I mean?
People that look at their body and go, oh, well, that's a work of art.
Yeah.
I look at mine and go, okay, this is a surrealist version. Things in the wrong place, things over there, whatever.
Yeah, my body resembles the guy's face in that Scream painting sort of thing. And then you're like, okay, well, if I did try my hand at nude modeling, what sort of pose do you take?
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? Because one of the models at the Funhouse drawings, I saw one of the sketches, and the guy was like, had his hands against the wall. Like he was just being arrested by the
Frist
cops
or something.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was like, assume the position. And like, did he choose that pose or is that like, that's how we want you to stand because that's what we're going to draw tonight? It's like, are you allowed to stand with your hands in front of your chin? Is that an acceptable pose?
Like when someone's taking a free kick in soccer and they're in the wall and they're all just standing there like that. If I was to do that, the pose I'd have to be would be like pointing at my eyes saying my eyes are up here.
Oh, really?
So they wouldn't keep looking, you know.
I mean, it's a two-hour drawing class, so I'd want something that's comfortable. Maybe that's why he's leaning against a wall because it's like standing up for 2 hours. That's a big ask. The other thing is like, what do you do with your hands? Because if I get my photo taken, I'm always like, what do I do?
Yeah, where are they going?
Normally, stuff them in my pockets.
Yeah.
If I don't have any pants on, like, I mean, I do have a back pocket, but it's not going to be, no one wants to draw me with my hands in my back pocket. So.
Extra crayons for that one.
Yeah, just baffling. And apparently they have both female and male models. Who do you think has it tougher to be a nude model when it comes to life drawing?
I would think a lot more women would volunteer than men.
I think it's easier for the girls, most definitely. Because like for the guys, obviously the winter months, not an ideal season to be doing any nude modelling. No. And then the other thing is, let's say, I mean, you're there for 2 hours and you're just standing still. So you're left to your own thoughts.
Yep.
And if your thoughts lead to something that gets you a bit excited,
it's
like, we're just going to adjourn the life drawing class for 10 minutes while things settle down. Everyone's frantically rubbing out the thing.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Brad, I still remember our very first holiday as a family. I think it was around 1995. What a time to be alive up the Gold Coast, Hollywood on the Gold Coast. We got that three-park pass that used to get back in the day. I think it was fairly cheap. It was Warner Brothers Movie World, SeaWorld and Wet n' Wild.
Yep.
All in the one ticket. Now, we didn't stay at no SeaWorld Nah resort. We weren't that rich. We camped on the Gold Coast, which was a little bit strange, but fond memories. The shows were always really stale, though. Like, you'd always know family members that went there a few years before you did, and they still kept running the Police Academy stunt show.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd have the guy that stands up in the crowd from Tasmania that gets all excited with the Hawaiian shirt.
Yes.
He gets pulled into the show, and you think, oh, it's just some random guy. And
he's just volunteered.
Yeah, he's just,
how lucky is he?
Yeah, went on that long, but by the time he'd done his final show, I think he had a walking stick or something like that and a Webster pack. But finally, Warner Brothers Movie World, obviously the last couple of years, been a bit hard with COVID, bit stale. They're finally getting one new attraction, one which takes us all the way back to a very popular film from the 1930s, from 1939.
Welcome to the Land of Oz in Oxenford, a new $40 million attraction where you can follow the yellow brick road through Movie World.
Immersive experience, immersive theming, focusing on the wonderfully rich tapestry that is the Wizard of Oz here to Movie World.
Yeah, that's Clark Kirby, Village Roadshow CEO.
Why the Wizard of Oz?
I know. That was an MGM production. It wasn't even owned by Warner Brothers unless they've been bought out or something. It's from 1939. It got re-released in 1949. It's a pretty deep burn.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you go with, like, Pirates of the Caribbean? I mean, that started out as a theme park attraction.
I know.
Or Harry Potter stuff. Or, you're going back to the 1930s?
Yep.
Is that because back then, like, people were struggling to, with the cost of living, everything was going through the roof because of the Great Depression, and they went, well, Wizard of Oz was popular back in the 30s.
It's not the best moral story, though, is it? A young girl gets lost, enlists the help of a bunch of strangers, you know, goes against all the advice that's given to her, takes a dog with her as well. She is involved with not speaking out when it's a bunch of munchkins, you know, slave labor rules and stuff. It's like, it's a little bit ridiculous. How updated is it going to be? Is it going to be exactly like the old one? We're going to see those, you know, those flying monkey things come around and pick up, you know, stray children that are wandering around the park? Is that what's going to be happening?
Well, are you sure it's based off Wizard of Oz? Maybe it's based off the James Franco. What was the sequel he made?
Oh, The Great and Powerful Oz. God. Hopefully not the TV show Oz. Nothing like that.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. Yellow Brick Road's going to be there. Woo, how exciting. But it turns out this actually has been a couple of years in the making doing this.
The Wizard of Oz precinct will be the theme park's first major development in 5 years. It will offer two new roller coasters similar to this. As the tourism sector bounces back and crowds begin to return, theme park bosses are confident now is the time to invest, but it won't be complete for another 2 years.
Yeah, so still a couple of years away. Also, they're doing some more upgrades to some rides at SeaWorld.
Okay.
As well, which should be exciting. But, you know, when you see this sort of these heavy themes like Disney World, Disneyland, all those, all the characters, they just stay in character. They never, ever break character.
Mm.
Is it going to be the same with the Wizard of Oz? You're going to get bugger all answers out of, you know, the lion because he's got no courage, the Tin Man, you know, whatever. And then you've got the Scarecrow, he's just got no brains. So he's going to be no help whatsoever.
No.
So I'm wondering about that. And also, I'm forever scarred when I had my 6th birthday at Australia's Wonderland. And because I thought it would be a great idea to go there, being a 6-year-old, I was too short to ride anything.
Yeah.
I didn't meet the minimum height requirements.
It's like the flume ride, like the log ride at Dreamworld was the only thing I was allowed on as a kid. I was devastated because I just wanted to go on a Thunderbolt ride, like the roller coaster.
Exactly right. And I'm also wondering how much in character they're going to stay. Like if I go there, or maybe some sort of young kid goes there, they're too short to ride. Are you going to cop this from one of the people that work there?
Not nobody, not know how.
Say it, don't spray it.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.